Jay Quaintance joins us this morning, president of SUNY Sullivan, and it's a great pleasure to have him on our program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, we've been checking in with folks all around trying to figure out how what is going on right now is impacting different facets of our life and our world. And so as a president of a community college in our region, how did life fundamentally change come the beginning of March?
You know, it was interesting. As the news was ramping up, we were kind of having very low-key conversations. And then, all of it once, it felt like the world was upside down, right? So we had to figure out a plan to get our students back to their home base off of our campus and out of our dorms. We had to assist our faculty in a very rapid transition to distance learning. And we had about six programs that were fully online anyway, so we had a lot of expertise, but not everyone taught in those programs. And so it was really important for our expert teachers in that mode to be able to sit with those, even at a distance, who weren't ready for that, and to really help them build the skills that they needed to deliver a quality academic program in a whole new way for many people.
So let us talk about the issues that you're dealing with right now and how they differ from four-year colleges, four-year state schools, as well as private colleges.
Sure. There's a lot of talk, obviously, around higher ed, and we've seen the editorials, for instance, by the president of Brown, and we hear what's going on across the SUNY system. And the SUNY system is a really interesting microcosm of higher ed because it encompasses every sector of what we think of broadly as post-secondary education or higher ed, everything from, R1 research universities all the way to community colleges. And the populations that each of those institutions serve and the way that they've been impacted are very, very different, although we think of it as one system or one entity. Community colleges are funded very differently from the state-operated four-year schools. We are more or less independent. We have our own independent boards of trustees. Our academic program falls under the auspices of SUNY, but in virtually every other way, our budgeting, our outreach, we are 30 separate schools, and that has a pretty profound impact because even among the 30 community colleges, there's enormous difference from, say Nassau on Long Island, which enrolls probably 50,000 students, to Sullivan, and we enroll about 1,500 students. So even at that scale, we're dramatically different from one another. And then you throw into the mix a school like FIT, which people don't even really realize is a SUNY community college, albeit a very specialized community college. And so you can see where it becomes just, we're all trying to share notes with each other and figure out how to make this work, but it isn't a one-size-fits-all, and it doesn't impact all of our students in the same way.
So let's talk about that for a moment. So as it stands right now, what are you looking to do, and how much autonomy do you really have, and how much can you really plan, or are you still at the mercy of the state of New York?
That is the question of the day in so many ways. we get our funding from three primary sources. We get a sponsor share, typically a county, so in my case, it's Sullivan County. We get revenue derived from tuition, primarily in the form of financial aid that comes from the federal and the state levels for our students. And then we get direct state support on a per student basis, so a per full-time equivalent student. And that's the part where we're trying to figure out how can we proceed when so much is up in the air at the state level in terms of the budget. Obviously, no one knows where the money's going to come from at this point until Congress decides to step in and really deliver something that could help municipalities and state governments meet their obligations. And in terms of that question of autonomy, we have I believe, a fair amount of autonomy. We need to make the decisions that we can to protect our institutions. So what that's going to look like, though, is going to be predicated on what the funding mechanisms look like. And so we're really just in a waiting game a little bit right now. None of us want to have layoffs. None of us want to raise tuition out of the bounds of what our students could afford. But we're at this point looking at everything that we might have to take into account in order to meet the budget and continue to deliver to our students and our counties and our constituents.
And add on top of this, the other unknown, which is whether you'll even be able to go back to school in the fall.
Absolutely. So we have on our campus, and about two-thirds of the SUNY community colleges are in a similar situation where they have some sort of on-campus housing. We have about 350 students that reside with us every year. And those, in a difference from the state op colleges, those dorm facilities are owned and operated by separate not-for-profit companies on our campus. And so whereas the dorms at, say, SUNY New Paltz, those are state facilities. Ours are privately owned, and they have a mortgage, and they have bills they need to meet. And so without knowing if we're going to be able to enroll students on campus and have those students live with us again, it just really does throw many, many more monkey wrenches into the equation.
You have the students who live on campus. You have the students that live off campus. But even if they live off campus, you don't know whether they can actually attend classes at the facility.
Correct. So what we've done to ramp up our ability to deliver our academic program is we've been able to, with the assistance of SUNY, to loan out laptop computers. And with a grant that we received from the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan Counties, we're able to set up a remote access point in our parking lot that blankets the entire parking lot with high-speed internet so that local students can come and do the work from their car, because again, we don't have robust internet access throughout Sullivan County. It's a fairly rural county and very, very dispersed population across a large area. So we've been trying to do the things that we can do to get our students to continue to be engaged in their academics, continue to be a community resource, have our facility be relevant in this time. But you're right, we don't know if we're going to be able to go back into the building in a traditional classroom setting in August, which, you know, we're hopeful, but we're making plans to be able to do what we need to do otherwise.
There's so much we don't know. There's so much that is up in the air, and this goes any given day. There's so much that we don't know. Is there a model? And it seems to me I've heard about this and I've read about it, so I think there is. I don't know whether it applies to you or not, but there is a model. There is a scenario out there that says, you know, because we don't know and there's so much that we don't know, parents, kids who would normally be ready to go to a four-year college don't want to pay the exorbitant amount or the very expensive amount or just the amount for a online education and instead either A, take a gap year or enter the community college. Are you preparing in some way for a surge of people that could come in as a result of, okay, we don't want the kids not to do anything. We'd like them to get some education, but maybe let them start here and let this all sift out before we figure out what's going to happen next.
Yeah, absolutely. We are planning for that and are developing our marketing approach to reflect that. And, you know, we've all seen these reports of people not wanting to send their kids far away for even if we do open, right? So people are going to be nervous. They're going to want to have closer to home access to their children and when they go to school. And that makes really good sense. The other factor that is important in this is traditionally community college enrollment is inversely proportional to the strength of the economy. So when the economy is doing well, community college enrollment typically suffers. And when the economy is doing poorly, community college enrollment rises for a lot of reasons. One is there's just the affordability factor. But also as people are unemployed or looking to change career paths, older and returning adult students come to community colleges to get those new skills that they're going to need. And I think we're going to see an uptick in that as well. With unemployment at these just unimaginably high numbers, people are going to look to get the skills that they need to find any kind of employment when this is all settled out.
So is that a blessing, a curse, or both, in the sense of, oh, we have all these new students coming in, but now, so that'll help the bottom line, obviously, but then we also have to have the resources to be able to sustain having all of those students.
Exactly, and the ability to be flexible in hiring additional support staff, additional instructional staff, making sure that we have, and you know, with so many unknowns in this case, we don't know that that typical pattern is going to adhere in this environment either, because I think people are just, they don't know what they would be retraining for instance. They don't know what's out there yet. And I don't think any of us have the crystal ball of that power. So we're in this really interesting situation that I think every industry is probably, but we're trying to figure out multiple paths out of this mess. So we're looking for those, as we discussed a few moments ago, those kinds of students who maybe were planning on going away, but now want to kind of stay engaged, but not necessarily take on the risk or the expense of a four-year school. These people that might be needing retraining, these, you know, we're trying to market everything. And then you throw on top of that, just the need to be a community resource in our local communities. A lot of times, especially in rural areas such as this, we're the only post-secondary institution in Sullivan County. And find our county relies on us for a whole host of things outside of the traditional post-secondary academic mission, but we also are a community resource for arts and entertainment and lectures, and we're engaged with a number of community partners to make sure that we're providing the kinds of services that they need from us, especially in this really complicated time.
Jay Quaintance is the president of SUNY Sullivan in Lac Sheldrake, New York, and joins us this morning. You know, it seems to me, and again, there's so much we don't know, but do you even, can you even think about what you were thinking about in January, in the sense of, oh, well, we may have been planning a new program. We may have been planning, we're going out and going for different sources of funding for different projects that we were working on. Maybe we'd like to put up a new building. Maybe we'd like to add this, maybe this long-range plan. Is everything just on hold?
No, it absolutely isn't. And I can give you a couple of examples. Thinking about how community colleges are responsive to their local needs, the opioid crisis has hit Schenectady or Sullivan County very hard. I used to live in Schenectady, so apologize for that.
No problem. We're one big region. It's fine.
But so we have been working to get a substance abuse counseling program off the ground, and that is nearing fruition. So we're going to be marketing that program and hoping to enroll folks who would be interested in taking on that new profession or adding that to their list of skills. We are also working to, there's a large number of agencies in our area that serve adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities. And we have started a new program in partnership with them that would be a registered apprenticeship program where their employees would take the kinds of courses that we can offer, serve as apprentices in those facilities, and have the costs of that covered by the state through this apprentice program. So we are moving these things forward as much as possible, because just because coronavirus has changed the way we do business, we still have to do business, and there's still business to be done, and there's still important work that can be done.
Okay, now for the hard questions. So how responsive has the state been? I realize that we're in the middle of a pandemic and that New York has been especially hard hit. How are you finding out the information you need to know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, SUNY has been really outstanding in terms of keeping us all informed. And at the very beginning of this, back in, you know, early to mid-March, as things were evolving, we would have sometimes two or three calls with the chancellor's senior staff, the other community college presidents, the presidents of the four-year and university center schools as well, and really trying to figure out what we're going to do. Now that we've sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say we've kind of hit a new stride, but we are we're still in communication with them, and they're still gathering a lot from us, and we're working very hard on a budget advocacy to make sure that the state recognizes the potential impact of proposed cuts, what that would mean to each of the individual schools, but also to the system as a whole. We're trying very hard to work regionally with our community college and our four-year partners in geographic areas around the state to figure out innovative ways to recruit and maintain our enrollment. So we're doing pretty well. In terms of the state offering support, I don't think they know at this point, and I fully understand that. And I go back to a comment I made earlier about we're kind of all of us waiting on Congress to see what happens, right? Because until there's some resolution to that, I don't think we can ever resolve what we're going to have to do at the state level.
So two questions left. One is, you've been talking many times throughout our conversation, rightfully so, about the relationship that you have with other presidents of community colleges. But you've also told how you're different from many of those. So what are those conversations like, and do they continue to be productive as you move forward and as you say, find this new path?
Yeah, if you look at it from a community college specific perspective, while we're each different and we serve different local communities, there are certainly commonalities between the community colleges that I think we can gain from each other. You know, one of the things that I think gets overlooked when we talk about higher ed writ large is that sector differentiation is important, and we serve at the community college sector in some ways the most vulnerable population of people seeking post-secondary education. So we're the ones who take the students who might not have the academic preparation coming out of high school. They might not have the financial resources. They're in most cases the first generation of their family to attend college, so they don't have kind of the social structure or family structure behind them. So we have to provide all of those kinds of services as well and meet those kind of non-necessarily academic needs. And those conversations are very, very helpful. And how can we deliver on that in this new environment? What kinds of, I don't want to call it telemedicine, but tele-support can we provide using that same kind of model? And those conversations have been very, very helpful. And also thinking about, I mean, in some ways it's just kind of we're a team. We're all in the same club, and it's just nice to share the stories from other people that are kind of experiencing the same thing you are. So there's been this surge in camaraderie, I guess, among the presidents.
And the final question is one just of I mean, not exactly optimism, but a sense that, okay, we can make it through this and make sure that we're true to our mission. We do what we need to do for the students. We do what we need to do for the community, the staff, and we get it done.
Yeah. By nature, I'm an optimist. And I absolutely believe we're going to come out of this having learned new ways of doing things and better ways of doing things than we did them in the past. And it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold. But I do think that we're going to come out of this in a way that says, man, the landscape has changed. We reacted, and we're better for it.
Jay Quaintance is president of SUNY Sullivan, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you very much for sharing time out of your day, and I so appreciate you being with us and the great work you do.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Be well.
Day.
Thank you. Again, Jay Quaintance is president of SUNY Sullivan in Lock Sheldrake, New York. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.